Well, Costello, I'm going to New York with you. You know, Bucky Harris, the Yanks manager, gave me a job as coach for as long as you're on the team.
Look, Abbott, if you're the coach, you must know all the players.
I certainly do.
Well, you know, I never met the guys, so you'll have to tell me their names, and then I'll know who's playing on the team.
Oh, I'll tell you their names, but you know, strange it may seem, they give these ball players nowadays very peculiar names.
You mean funny names?
Strange names, pet names, like Dizzy Dean and...
His brother Daffy.
Daffy Dean.
And their French cousin.
French?
Gouffet.
Gouffet Dean, oh, I see. Well, let's see, we have on the bags, we have who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
That's what I want to find
out. I say, who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
Are you the manager?
Yes.
You're going to be the coach, too?
Yes.
And you know the fellow's name?
Oh, I should.
Well, then who's on first?
Yes.
I mean the fellow's name.
Who?
The guy on first.
Who?
The first baseman.
Who?
The guy playing
who
first.
Who is on first?
I'm asking you who's on first.
That's the man's name.
That's whose name?
Yes.
Well, go ahead and tell
that's
me.
That's it.
That's who?
Yes.
Look, you got a first baseman?
Certainly.
Who's playing first?
That's right.
When you pay off the first baseman every month, who gets the money?
Every dollar of it.
All I'm trying to find out is the fellow's name on first base.
Who?
The guy that gets the
that's
money.
That's it.
Who gets the money on
he
first
base? He does, every dollar. Sometimes his wife comes down and collects it.
Whose wife?
Yes. What's wrong with that?
Look, all I want to know is when you sign up the first baseman, how does he sign his name to
who?
The contract? The guy.
Who?
How does he sign his
that's
name?
That's how he signs it.
Who?
Yes.
All I'm trying to find out is what's the guy's name on first base?
No, what is on second base?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
One base at a time.
Well, don't change the players.
Though. I'm not changing nobody.
Take it easy, buddy.
I'm only asking you, who's the guy on first base?
That's right.
Okay.
All right.
I mean, what's the guy's name on first base?
No, what is on second?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know.
Oh, he's on third. We're not talking about him. Now, let's see.
Now, how did I get on third base?
Why, you mentioned his name.
If I mention a third baseman's name, who did I say is playing third?
No, who's playing first?
What's on first?
What's on second?
I don't know.
He's on third.
There I go, back on third again. Now, will you stay on third base
right.
And don't go off it?
All right, what do you want to know?
Now, who's playing third base?
Why do you insist on putting who on third base?
What am I putting on third?
What is on second?
You don't want who on second?
Who is on first?
I don't know. Third base? You got outfield?
Sure.
The left fielder's name.
Why?
I just thought I'd ask.
Well, I just thought I'd tell you.
Then tell me who's playing left field.
Who is playing first?
I'm not. Stay out of the infield. I want to know what's the guy's name in left field.
No, what is on second?
I'm not asking you who's on
who's
second.
Who's on first?
I don't know. Third base. And the left fielder's name?
Why?
Because.
Oh, he's center field.
Look, you got a pitcher on the team?
Sure.
The pitcher's name?
Tomorrow.
You don't want to tell me today?
I'm telling you,
then
man.
Go ahead.
Tomorrow.
What time?
What time what?
What time tomorrow you going to tell me who's pitching?
Now listen, who is not pitching?
I'll break your arm, you say, who's on first. I want to know what's the pitcher's name.
What's on second?
I don't know.
Third base.
Got a catcher?
Certainly.
The catcher's name?
Today.
Today. And tomorrow's pitcher?
Now you've got it.
All we got is a couple of days on the team. I'm a catcher, too.
So they tell me.
I get behind the plate, do some fancy catching. Tomorrow's pitching on my team, and a heavy hitter gets up.
Yes.
Now, the heavy hitter bunts the ball. When he bunts the ball, me being a good catcher, I want to throw the guy out of first base, so I pick up the ball and throw it to who?
Now, that's the first thing you've said right.
I don't even know what I'm talking about.
Well, that's all you have to do.
Is to throw the ball at first base.
Yes.
Now, who's got it?
Naturally.
Look, if I throw the ball at first base, somebody's got to get it. Now, who has it?
Naturally.
Who?
Naturally.
Naturally?
Naturally.
So I pick up the ball and I throw it to naturally.
No, you don't. You throw the ball in a hole.
Naturally.
That's different.
That's what I say.
You're not saying that.
I throw the ball to naturally.
You throw it to who?
Naturally.
That's it.
That's what I said.
Listen, you ask me.
I throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
Now you ask me.
You throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
That's
same
it.
As you.
Don't change it around.
Same as you.
Go ahead, now get it over.
I throw the ball to who? Whoever it is drops the ball and the guy runs a second.
Yes.
Who picks up the ball and throws it to what? What throws it? I don't know. I don't know. Throws it back to tomorrow. Triple play.
Yes.
Another guy gets up and it's a long fly ball to because. Why? I don't know. He's on third and I don't give a darn.
What?
I said I don't give a darn.
Oh, that's our shortstop.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, Abbott and Costello, great routine. Hi, everybody. I'm Pete Hendrickson. We're going to spend the next couple of hours talking off and on, but mostly about words and the manipulation of the meaning of words. We had Abbott and Costello there give us a great, hilarious example of what that can mean. In our modeling, we're going to be looking at the somewhat grimmer and more serious application of word manipulation, because that's one of the things going on in this country today. It's very, very important. It's very, very harmful. We're going to look at a couple of examples of how this works. Give you the first example, the word in very broad usage today. It's being used for political purposes and service of a specific agenda. And that word is equity. Now you've all heard this term being deployed, constantly by, Democrats for the most part. It has become a theme issue in the Biden administration's domestic policy structure. It is a component of the social justice warrior movement, and yet it doesn't really mean what I suspect a lot of people imagine. So the use of it with the specific meaning that's given by the people using it for an agenda is intended to end up with a conclusion not anticipated by the people to whom they're speaking. equity used to mean getting fairly rewarded in proportion to the degree and quality of your effort. That was an application of the term equity. That's relevant to the way that the term is misused today. That misuse has the term meaning getting as positive an outcome as anyone else, regardless of the degree and quality of your effort, as though just being there qualifies you for an equal share of the product of other people's efforts. It's a socialist concept, basically, in this application. The idea is everybody works and does their best, and whereas in the past, those who work harder and more effectively and bring more talent and personal discipline and long days and short nights into the prospect end up producing a great deal and end up being rewarded consequently or proportionately. Now the notion is everybody will do all those things, and the people with all the talent and energy and discipline and work ethic will continue to produce, but everybody will get an equal share of the outcome. Everybody has an equitable share of the outcome, and the equity is based not on their contribution to the project, but on the fact that they're another person sitting on the bench, and hey, they're just as good as anybody else because they're another person just like anybody else, right? So they should get, you know, as much as anybody else. This is what is being meant now when you hear the term equity being used. And so the push to produce a more equitable society is a push to embrace the plank of the Communist Manifesto, basically, of from each according to his ability to each according to his needs. Well, everybody's needs are pretty much the same. Everybody's abilities are not. And abilities is not necessarily an inherent thing. You know, this is played on to give a certain mantle of conceptual validity to the prospect of equity. The notion is that some people just aren't blessed with, you know, the capacity to do as much as others are. And to a very, very, very limited degree, there's some truth in that, and it's an unfortunate reality that not everyone is Shakespeare and capable of producing great literary works or great art or, you know, many other things. But for the very most part in our society, the ability to produce is a consequence of the willingness to work and to work hard. And that working hard doesn't just mean, you know, the day you show up at the job site, putting in a good day's work. It means having prepared yourself, having sacrificed throughout the course of your life, to equip yourself with skills and to hone your talents and to bring a strong work ethic and an attention to detail and a focus and all the other things that are required to do a good job. You know, it's been well said that genius, the output of genius is 99% perspiration and 1% inspiration. And that was said by people who are thought of as geniuses. They seem to know what they're talking about. These are people who are equipped to know what they're talking about. And I think we all have seen that. We all know the difference between somebody that keeps their nose to the grindstone and somebody else who is just as intelligent, just as capable in every other way, but doesn't keep their nose to the grindstone. And we see who produces more. So it's obvious that in the vast majority of cases, this isn't a matter of somebody being disabled versus someone who isn't, comparisons there, which, by the way, I will say as we go, you know, the fact that someone may actually have a lower capacity for effort or productivity doesn't make them entitled to a share of the productive person's output. We have ways socially of addressing those special circumstances, those rare and special circumstances, and what those are could be the subject of a debate. That's not the debate that I'm proposing right now. This is one based on the typical circumstance. People who are of generally equal capability, potential, and some work hard and some don't. Some stay in school and study hard and acquire an education, by which is not necessarily meant a degree, but they learn things. They learn. They acquire knowledge. They acquire skills practices and character that leads to performing in the productive sphere, doing things that other people are willing to pay for, in other words, so as to be able to earn wealth and create wealth. But the equitable principle says that those people, that all the people in the mix of the same general potential should end up with the same outcome regardless of their individual contribution to production. So when you hear that word, your antenna should go up. You should recognize that you're not hearing a benign discussion of political principle. You're hearing a pretty aggressive and not at all benign concept of politics. Here's another one. Gender. This is a term that in the current milieu, we hear it a lot. One time was understood by pretty much everybody using or hearing it as a reference to biological sex, which is to say male or female. It was something that you could look at the DNA if you had to, if you couldn't tell just from outright characteristics, what somebody was. And even if you were presented with outside characteristics, with external characteristics that suggested one thing, you could check by looking at that DNA and determine what someone really was. But today it's used by activists for political purposes and sycophantic media as well, and commercial voices, as referencing a state of mind, in the sense of somebody simply deciding that rather than the man or woman that they plainly are, that person is now a woman or a man, because that's just how they feel about it. This is a pretty disturbing change, and it's a change that has been underway. The adoption of this alternative meaning of gender has been underway in a number of places in the Western world. In the United States, which is the place that I'm mostly concerned with, it's been going on for half dozen years, maybe even 10 years, on a very, very small scale early on, maybe longer than that, in fact, but very small scale early on. It's increasingly the case, increasingly in use. And just over the course of the last year or two, it has kind of exploded into the public awareness. And since the Democrats occupied Washington in January, it has become a very major subject in, of conversation and in very wide use. We now have people who were born as well. In the one particular case, what Richard Levine, the fellow born a man, ultimately eventually married, played football actually as a high schooler, I think, married and had two kids, and then eventually went into therapy and ended up coming out deciding that he was really a woman and or meant to be a woman. He was just a woman trapped in a man's body, and ended up having reassignment, quote unquote, reassignment surgery to take away the men parts and try and replace them with facsimiles of women parts. And you know, grew his hair and changed his clothes and so forth, and is now the appointed Assistant Secretary of Health under the Joe Biden administration. This is a person who is represents the federal face of mental health care in this country right now, and to my mind, quite clearly a person that is suffering from very substantial mental illness. So it's a strange thing. I want to go now to the sharing with you an article that I just posted in my Monday newsletter, which got published yesterday, which anyone who's interested can find at losthorizons.com. And just click on the news link in the masthead at the top of the page that address will get you to, and you can see it. Anyway, this piece is on the subject of transgender matters. It's something I've not actually written about in the past, other than one single article a few months ago, and you know, it's a subject that I touch on with a certain amount of kind of trained reluctance, because the pressure against discussing this subject is very intense, and part of that pressure comes from the idea that, you know, there are people that we all possibly know or will have some contact with, or people we care about know. Who have succumbed to this insanity, and you don't want to hurt feelings, and you know, it's, and that's fine, but I don't think that as a society we can really afford to play it that way, because this, I think, is a very dangerous path to go down, allowing this kind of thing to happen. So I'll let the article tell the rest of that tale. So Or actually, maybe I won't. Now that I noticed the time, it looks like we're actually getting to within a couple of minutes of taking our mid-hour break, and so I'm going to hold off on reading this this article. It's not a very long article, but nonetheless, it'll probably take more than the minute and a half that we've got right here. So rather than do that again, I'm going to hold this till after the break. In the meantime. Just to mention something about the trans subject that I was going to get to after I read the article, but it'll fill this time properly. Yesterday, having been watching the Olympic trials on NBC in the evening, it occurred to me to wonder what was going on with the idea of trans athletes in the Olympics. And I looked it up and discovered that there actually are going to be some. We're going to have at least one, and more likely three or four, and maybe ultimately more than that, men who are competing as women against other women in the Olympics this year. And obviously, I mean, it's a known and inarguable thing that men come into the equation of athletic competitions with better fundamental working materials than women do. Men outdo women athletically at all times in all competitions, and it is simply not fair. It is, in fact, outrageously unfair for men to be allowed to compete with women for medals in the Olympics or any other competition, and yet that is what we're going to see coming up next month in Tokyo. I wonder how much it's going to get covered, how much time the news organizations that are covering the Olympics are going to spend on this, or are they going to spend any time on it at all? I actually had some difficulty finding out that we're going to have some, I mean, not that there are going to be some men competing in women's athletics in the upcoming games. So I have a suspicion that it's going to be kept on the QT. So that said, I think we're going to be going to break any moment now. I'm kind of surprised I'm not hearing the music already, but keep that thought in mind. Think about the question of whether, you know, if you have daughters that are in athletics, school perhaps, are they competing against boys? Are they out on a playing field in which they might get hit by a boy? You know, a lot of these sports are contact sports. This is important. Anyway, here we go. We're here. We have the music. We're going to the break, and we will pick this up on the other side.
Hi, this is Jay at the Pyro Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the Optivita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
You know what my mission was when I started this, and I was so excited. I still am excited after 21 years. I said, anybody who's got mouth must use Vitamir toothpaste and mouthwash if they want to stay healthy. I'm going to make sure that it is available to anywhere I can put the product.
You got a lot of zinc in these products.
Zinc inhibits plaque growth. Zinc is also known to have an antibacterial properties. Also, zinc works to eliminate bad breath by destroying volatile sulfur compounds, such such an incredible product. And
wow.
I'm so proud to say my wife did that and saved my life, saved my mouth. And she is the mother of all the people who are using a Vitamer toothpaste and mouthwash in the world.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com. Hi, this is Power Hour J. We've been spring cleaning at the Power Mall. We have an overstock of Grown by Nature supplements, and we'd like to offer you 25% off of select products. Hurry, the sale will only be available while supplies last. No code necessary to shop at thepowermall.com, or you can call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's thepowermall.com or 877-817-9829. Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Okay, we're back. I'm going to proceed to read that article from my newsletter that I mentioned on the subject of transgender stuff just a minute. But before I start that, I want to reemphasize the info from the break there. Powermall.com, great place to do your shopping if you're in the market for anything that they carry. Good folks, good stuff. And your custom at thepowermall.com helps keep this show on the air, so it's important and appreciated if you use that. I want to mention that I got a little note from the folks at the station that on sale this week at the Power Mall, we have 10% off on Herbal Z's. That's a sleep aid. 10% off on all Strauss Naturals, on Good Health Naturally, on Global Healing Center Organic Vegan Selenium, and Grown by Nature overstock sale, 25% off select Grown by Nature supplements. So anybody that is into the herbal supplement product line, I take some herbal supplements myself and think very well of the benefits. Power Mall has them at some nice discounts. Excuse me. So, we were talking about transgender. I will use the word madness. It's in the title of this piece, and so I'm just going to get right to it. And speaking plainly about transgender madness, and I have transgender in the scare quotes there. Hopefully, you'll just be able to picture those as we go through the article, and you'll find them at every place in that idea. Because transgender, the whole concept is frankly fictional. It's insane. The subtitle, No Culture Can Long Survive the Embrace of Delusions and Denial. Let's start out by putting down a marker. Someone who would mutilate his or her own body with scalpels or chemicals in service to the delusion that they are, or are meant to be, a gender which they are not, is a deeply ill person. Put another way, anyone so far gone into the delusion that they are, or are meant to be, a gender which they are not, as to mutilate themselves with scalpels or chemicals, is deeply ill. Further, anyone who would facilitate, encourage, or exploit such a harmful delusion or such harmful behavior for any reason, even what is imagined to be an exercise of compassion, but which is really just moral or intellectual laziness, is deeply corrupt in intellect or spirit or both. And any culture that refuses to acknowledge the foregoing is doomed. It's very hard to speak of these matters. A blitzkrieg on behalf of trans delusions storms across the country, weaponizing social media, the mainstream media, co-opted commercial interests, and beneficiary professionals, all with the smirking support of the brave new normal, quote-unquote, Biden administration and its allies in Congress. The object of the assault is to discourage clear thinking and plain speech about this infection of madness which has lately erupted into the open like never before. These corrupt supporting voices mean to see trans and gender fluidity fictions normalized in America beyond any chance of uprooting. The declared object of the Blitzkrieg are inclusion and tolerance, and yes, compassion. But experience teaches us that political and commercial capital is seldom, if ever, spent for such benign and altruistic purposes. I suspect that the real reason, or one of the real reasons, behind this muscular push to mainstream manifest insanity, which afflicts less than half of 1% of Americans, and therefore is plainly not defended and encouraged for direct political or commercial reasons, is otherwise. I suspect the real reason behind this indefensible embrace of lunacy is to support the interests of the somewhat larger communities of homosexuals, those embracing a certain extreme strain of radical feminism, and advocates and apologists for the welfare state. All of the above-mentioned groups are inordinately influential in Democrat Party politics and the superficial popular culture. All, I suspect, feel threatened in their ideological, legal, and political arguments by the continued recognition by the rest of us that men and women are distinguishable from each other by inherent personality and psychological traits, the key fact which is disputed by trans and gender fluidity advocacy. That threat would lie in the fact that because men and women are harmonious but distinctly different complements of each other, same-sex couples and single-parent households in which one half or the other of the human whole is missing cannot raise psychologically healthy children. Children raised in such an environment never have a chance to learn that the complex dance of give and take by which men and women interweave their diverse interests, strengths, and interlocking supports to produce nature's proper social and psychological whole. In light of this fact, the handing over of children to same-sex couples and the evaporation of stigma previously serving to discourage unmarried women from having babies become problems to be solved rather than social evolution we should all continue to quietly tolerate and accommodate. Obviously, that transformation of perspective would gore a few oxen. Just as obviously, those oxen would be spared if gender fluidity settles into the public consciousness with its repudiation of the notion of actual inherent differences between men and women. But a healthy society cannot last when abuse of its children is normed, and when social, political, and legal policy rests on the rejection of reality. Now, I'm just spitballing here, of course, at least as to the motivations behind the defense of the trans thing. I will continue to watch and learn and consider, and perhaps I will conclude otherwise in time. The observations with which I began, however, about the insanity of gender dysphoria and reassignment surgery, and the intellectual and spiritual corruption of those who promote and enable it, especially those who promote and enable it in children, are a done deal. They are as certain and correct as the fact that the sun will rise in the morning. So, that's my take and really my first, writing on this subject. I'd love to think that it wouldn't ever need to touch on the subject again. although I don't count on that. I think this transgender craziness is a thing that it's going to be a tough monster to slay. And there are a lot of interests now that are arrayed on its behalf, including people like Richard Levine, who now goes by Rachel, by the way, and is in a position of authority in the Biden administration. He is someone who is going to have a lot of influence on the debate on this sort of subject, one way or another. And there are others. I mean, Caitlin Jennings is, famously running for governor of California. Jennings is not the only, and Levine, they're not the only people out there. There are lots of them. As I mentioned before the break, we're going to see some men competing against women in the Olympics next month in Tokyo. Because the Olympics committee has become okay with the idea of biological men naming themselves as women and being treated as though they are. We all know about the chaotic and crazy situation with kids in high schools and maybe junior highs now too. Heck, maybe elementary schools. So some of the people who are encouraged to imagine themselves to have a sexual identity contrary to their DNA include little kids now. There are little kids that are being encouraged to imagine themselves to be what they are not, and to act and dress accordingly, and are being prepped for or are actually undergoing this quote-unquote reassignment surgery and chemical manipulation intended to stop them from going through the normal processes of puberty and developing their natural and proper sex characteristics, and instead to hijack that process or thwart that process. Actually, a great word, to abort that process. That's what the reassignment stuff is about, and that's what the puberty blockers are about. They're an effort to abort the natural process of development in these children so as to make them into a creature that they are not meant to be and for which they're not equipped in any sense whatsoever. It is to create an eventual psychological mess. Someone who really will find themselves in the wrong body. As children, they may be in a state of uncertainty or confusion or anxiety or whatever, as pretty much every kid that goes through adolescence goes through all of those things to one degree or another, and then sorts everything out and becomes comfortable with themselves and confident, puts the anxiety aside and learns how to deal with members of the opposite sex and everything becomes the way it is meant to be. These kids are captured in those moments of anxiety or confusion, what have you, most common everyday every person experienced. Periods of confusion and they are hijacked. They're diverted from the normal path of normal development, proper development, healthy development, and encouraged to allow themselves to be allow the normal natural processes to be aborted in their cases, and for a false thing to be substituted for that normal course of events, and they, the boys begin to lose the healthy, harmonious components of their nature, and with an artificial input of female chemistry, and in the radical cases of actual reassignment surgery, their body parts are removed and replaced with efforts to construct false female parts on them, and the same with girls who are led to imagine themselves to be actually boys trapped in a girl's body. Same process is undertaken. Healthy natural progress is aborted and replaced with a Island of Dr. Moreau kind of just ultimately creepy Frankensteinian modification in an effort to make what cannot be made. These children remain, and adults going through the same thing, because it is children that are the worst crimes, but adults are just as much craziness. An adult is, frankly, in my political and legal view, an adult is entitled to do whatever he or she wants with his or her own body. And if he or she wants to swap sex characteristics surgically, they're welcome to do so. If they want to put fins on their backs or web their feet, they're capable of doing that too. And I have nothing to say about the rightness or wrongness of that from a legal perspective. I have plenty to say about the rightness or wrongness of it from a sanity perspective. But adults can do that. They get to do that. They are in charge of their own bodies, and they get to do that when their own body is the only thing that is being affected. Kids, on the other hand, doing it with kids or to kids is abuse. It is child abuse, I think, of the worst possible kind. It should be criminalized, in my view. And children of parents that even encourage the consideration in a child of the notion that they may, you know, really be something that they are not, those children, as much as I am reluctant to endorse the idea of the state doing anything of this kind for any reason, sometimes there are limits, and those children should be taken away from parents that are behaving that way with them, in my view. Anyway, so it's craziness going on out there, and we are being invited to participate in any of a couple of different ways. One, of course, there's the urge on all of us to just accept all this, to imagine the truth of the idea that gender is fluid, that maleness and femaleness is not something baked into the cake. It's just a matter of perspective, and we're supposed to start using the terms like gender as these activists prefer to use them, which is to say it's just a state of mind. Not anything biological. There's no biology involved at all. In fact, the people who are advocates of all of this argue that there are many, many genders. It's not just male and female. There are things in between that. There are, degrees of maleness and degrees of femaleness and even not being categorized at all in that sense. Just a complete fog. I saw it, it said in a way that I appreciated by, Matt Walsh, the other day, a commentator of whom I've grown, pretty fond, in the recent, month or so since I found him. And you can find him too he has a YouTube show. He's a podcaster basically. He pointed out that what's being taken from these kids in part is their own identity. The encouragement of not settling into one's own actual self, which is a part of the process here, in the encouragement of gender fluidity and the idea that one should wonder whether one really is a boy or really is a girl or a man or a woman. Is to steal from those children their own sense of identity. And this was brought up, the occasion that brought this epiphany to mind was a conversation in which, back up a little bit here. As many of you probably know, one of the things about the gender identity concept is that pronouns are no longer part of the English language. They are up to the individual about whom one is speaking or to whom they're being applied. So you can no longer say he said this when you're talking about Caitlyn Jenning, for instance, because even though that's Bruce Jenning, really, just in a somewhat, you know, modified body, and having adopted a different name, Caitlyn now, you know, views himself as a woman. And so you have to say she said when you're talking about Caitlyn. That's the idea, is that Caitlyn can insist that you use the pronouns that, that Caitlyn wants. And some of these folks, in this movement use, they don't like being pinned down to he or she at all, and they prefer to have people use they or them when they're speaking of that individual. In the idea being that they're kind of a, you know, sort of a group thing, group identity, a group concept, since it isn't pinned down to male, female, whatever. It's a wider spectrum, as is said. And so a child, I believe it was a 7-year-old child, contributed to answering a question from a parent of another child who is supposedly transitioning, and that the other parent was expressing difficulty with the pronoun thing and figuring out how to adapt, you know, how to speak to or about each of several different people that they knew who had these delusions about their gender identity. The child said, "Well, here's a trick you can use," and he said, "I think of myself," the child referring to himself, this 7-year-old kid or 9-year-old kid, said, "I think of myself as a swarm of bees. And if you think of them that way, then you will always use the proper they or them when addressing them or speaking about them." And that led Walsh to recognize that it is the fundamental identity of these children that is being stolen from them. That is a fierce crime against a child. It is a fierce crime for a parent to commit against a child. It is to participate in the destruction of that child's identity, their sense of place, their sense of personhood and individuality, and. And that's the crime that is being committed across the country, happily on a pretty small scale at this point. But it's the crime that the people behind this transgender advocacy want to see happening on a much larger scale. And they want it to be normed. They want it to be thought of as just another choice. The gender thing is just another lifestyle choice. It's just a decision that, you know, anybody could make and should be viewed with the same respect and accommodation as, you know, the decision of somebody to change their hair color or their career or how they dress, not how they dress as in whether to wear men's clothes or women's clothes, but just, you know, there are different kinds of looks that you can go for. And this is supposed to be just another one. That's how the advocates of this craziness would like things to be. And, you know, as I said in that article, and, you know, maybe I'm wrong, but this is just my thinking. I don't think a society can handle, can survive over the long haul, the embrace of fictions on this kind of a level. We're already seeing the erosion of our Western civilization perspectives. The things that allowed us to develop out of, really barbaric structures, you know, monarchies and tribalisms and so forth, not all that long ago, really. And the breakaway is a unique thing in human history for the most part. There have been a few other efforts to change the rules of the game away from some form of autocracy and really simplistic caveman level thinking on many different fronts. We got there not by embracing fictions, but by putting aside fictions. We put aside notions like the divine right of kings and other fundamentally indefensible but long-standing and well-entrenched concepts on which barbaric political relationships were based. I don't think we can survive replacing those or beginning to reintroduce fictional concepts into our public sphere. So this is a nerve-wracking development, in my opinion. And as I said, it's been growing under the ground for a long time, putting down roots, and now it's erupted up in a big way. So anyway, we will have more to say on similar things the next hour. Please stay with me, and we will see you after this break. Thanks for being here.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiatics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.